the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could steal a wood, ain't nothing for my journey now. No, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around.
He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want.
Oh, that's
the
worldly
fame. If I could steal, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey.
Oh, that's singing out, church. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, and he tries to turn me around.
He's offered everything that's got a name. What if I want the world of fame?
If I could steal, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of grief and
woe. Oh, yes, we have.
Whoa. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
I'd say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Oh, let's sing it. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
I've got to make it to heaven somehow.
He tries to turn me around.
He's offered everything that's got a name. The wealth I want, the world I claim. If I
could steal, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
There's nothing in the world that could ever take the place God's love. All the silver and gold could never buy a touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. I can say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around.
He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, the worldly fame.
Well, if I could steal, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. How many of you can truthfully say that this morning? Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Do we serve an awesome God? Do we serve a great risen Savior? Are you glad you know Him this morning? Are you glad He knows you? Are you glad He loves you? Give Him a good hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it heaven somehow. Oh, the devil kissed me, tries to turn me around.
He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. There's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love.
Amen.
All the silver and gold could never buy a touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. I could say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Journey now. I gotta make it heaven somehow.
Though the devil is me that tries to turn me around. Got a name, all the wealth I want, the world and fame.
If we could still, I wouldn't take nothing on my journey now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I want you to do something. I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this: God bless you, you great soldier of the cross. God bless you, you great soldier of the cross today. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to know the Lord. Bradley, they say they can't hear anything up here. Can't hear me sing, which is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to see you here. I want to ask you, just if you will, just to remain standing this morning. Just have a very few prayer requests. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer. This is... Said, Brother Louis, I have a very urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We're just committed unto the Lord this morning. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for Pete Wolf. He's a co-worker who has cancer in his ear and a pocket of infection that won't clear up. The doctor said this type of infection is deadly, but God is able to meet that need. So we just commit that to the Lord this morning. And then we have a special prayer request for Brother Samuel from India. The Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. Then we have a card of thanks from Brother Randy Babb. It says, thanks to the many for the many nice acts of kindness, your thoughts, your prayers, your visits, the food and the cards. Thank you, Brother Randy Babb. And he was telling me last night that he gets to go back to work tomorrow, and he is very thankful for that. So we praise the Lord for touching our brother. Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs this morning, we just want to remember those, commit those things unto the Lord. Remember Brother Donnie and Sister Carol as they over in Virginia in the meetings there, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Meetings around the earth that's going on this morning, that God will just be in the midst. He's the only one that we can think of that deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. He's the only one. Is that right? We're all laborers together, and we're trusting Him to get us out of here, aren't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, we appreciate you, buddy. We love this guy right here.
Amen. Well, today's Mother's Day. Amen. Let's give our mothers a great big hand. I want you to know that if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here today. Amen. I want you to read something that I think I read last year, but it's good. It said a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old present their mom with a houseplant. They had used their own money and was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet that we want to give to you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect for you, since you are always asking for a little peace and quiet. Amen. So, moms, we know how it is. Amen. Let's pray for these prayer requests this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you for letting us live on this side of Calvary, Jesus. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that your blood was shed upon the cross for our sins. And God, it's by each drop that was placed on your back, God, that we receive our healing. And God, today as we come before you, God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for everything you mean to us. And God, we pray for our requests today. each name that was called out. God, I pray that you'll just let your spirit go forth. God, that you'll heal them, save them, deliver them, comfort them, whatever their need may be. I pray in the name of Jesus that you move for them. God, those on the internet, I pray that you move for them. For Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, we pray that you're blessing the service. God, I pray that you bless the ministers, whoever they may be preaching today. God, be with them and watch over them. Take charge of this service, each part of it, not the service and the servant. God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to reiterate what Brother Daniel said to all of our moms, God bless you. You're just, you're very much appreciated, and we thank the Lord for you. And if you've got a mother that's here in the service today, or a mother that you can go visit after a while, you do that. To have them here is a real blessing. Amen. It certainly is. Let's sing a song this morning. There is a land. Aren't you glad we've got a promise of a land? What if you just had hope of this life? After you've tasted the good things of God and the blessings of the Lord and the joy that He brings, and after this life it was just all over. Aren't you glad that it's not? Aren't you glad you've got a place to go? Aren't you glad He's got better things for His people than this? And this is great. This earth is beautiful. It's a great place to live. But I'm so glad we've got a better place. Somebody say praise the Lord. You're going to help me sing this morning, right? You will participate, right? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning.
I've seen some pretty time. Guess you could say I've been around. I found no place to settle down. There is a land. I am just a pilgrim.
Oh, yes, we are.
Toiling through this world of fear. My time to leave is drawing near. I'm going to. Not myself here anymore. I'm longing for that open door that leads to that land. So I'll dry my weeping eyes, lift my head. So world goodbye, I'm going to that land, that is my land.
There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before.
not a million miles away. Pour on some far off distant strain.
I'll speed up and they'll slow down.
There is a land.
Yes, there is.
There is a
song this morning. Just before we change the order of the service, Brother David Swanson's got a song for us today. Brother David, you come on, be getting ready. Then as he finishes up, I want the choir to be ready to come to the platform. Got a couple of real good songs for you today, Brother David and the choir, and I know you're going to enjoy that. But let's sing this, I'm Going Home with Jesus in the Twinkling of an Eye. It's going to be quick. Now you see me, now you don't. It's going to be quick. It's going to be real quick. Aren't you glad about it? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I want to go. Somebody say, I really want to go. Give him one more hand, have a praise if you love him. Ushers, why don't you come and receive the morning offering while we sing this song? We'll get carried away and forget it again. And somebody shake a dollar bill at me and remind me. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're visiting with us today in this service, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. We're glad to have you. All those that will be streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day. But I know that I'll be leaving because he's right away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving because he's right away.
Listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and the crown of life is waiting. Thank God will soon be mine. I got my invitation, the place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me.
Oh, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. In the sky, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving because he's right away.
The captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. We'll meet again, the Savior and our loved ones who've gone on, there to live for all eternity. Oh, yes, we're going home.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day.
God bless you. Thank you for singing so good today. You can be seated. Brother David, God bless you as you come to give us a song. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we?
We are so blessed by the gifts from your hand. I just can't understand why you've loved us so much. We are so blessed, we just can't find a way or the words that can say thank you, Lord, for your touch. When we're empty, you fill us till we overflow. When we're hungry, you feed us and cause us to know. We are so blessed. Take what we have to bring, take it all, everything. Lord, we love you so much. We are so blessed by the things you have done, the victories we've won, and what you brought us through. We are so blessed. Take what we have to bring, take it all, everything. Lord, we bring it to you. When we're empty, fill us till we overflow. And when we're hungry, you feed us and cause us to know. We are so blessed. Take what we have to bring, take it all, everything. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we love you so much.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Glorified for
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Song was wonderful too. We certainly appreciate it. Could we stand this morning as Brother David gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord? Sing the song that he ended the service with last night after hearing what we heard and the big bang. Aren't you glad it was a bang? Aren't you glad we're leaving here in a bang? Praise the Lord. Let's sing Our God is Awesome this morning as he gets ready to come. Our God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, yes, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's awesome. Awesome.
My God is awesome. He can move the mountains. From the rain, my God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken, strength when I've been weakened. Forever He will reign.
Oh, our God is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome.
Yeah.
Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. I praise His holy name.
Oh, our God is awesome.
Yes, He is awesome.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise be to God. Well, until they come up with a better word than awesome, he's just awesome. They come up with a better word, he's greater than awesome. My language fails me to be able to explain it, but what a great God we serve. Amen. Wasn't that choir, wasn't that beautiful? That was awesome. But David Swanson, that was awesome. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, and as we invite him just to help us as we look into his word. Lord, we have no better language to explain it, but you're an awesome God. And Lord, we believe that as you in the beginning begin to create, Lord, and you put everything into their place, it's not by chance or coincidence that we're in this building this morning. But Lord, we believe we are here by divine order. We're called, Lord, to believe what we believe and to see what we're seeing. We're asking, Lord, that you would just come now and that you would just anoint us with the word, that we could just move aside. And Lord, not just me as a minister, but Lord, we all want to be able to enter in, to be able to pull our chairs underneath your great table as it was. And we're asking, Lord, that you would just come and take complete control of the service, that, Lord, that you would just move in this place today. And Lord, you know every need that's represented in this place. You know every heart that is here. And we are asking, Lord, that you would just come now and may you take those needs, Lord, that's in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would just, Lord, bring order to them, we pray. I ask that you would just take now, Lord, as we use these few moments of time to be able to, Lord, worship you, talk about your word, enter into fellowship with you. I pray, Lord, may our worship be received. Lord, when the last word is said and the last song is sang, that only you who is worthy would receive the glory. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bible with you, Genesis chapter 1. If you don't know where Genesis 1 is, just shut your Bible and just forget it. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, he loves him today. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of my mouth. Maybe only the preachers understand that, but I've been completely honest. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Oh, what a first day it was. Now, we're going to look at verse 26 of the same chapter. And God said, "Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, singular. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Amen. You can just be seated for a few moments if you would like. Start with a statement that Brother Brown makes. The message, there's a man that can turn on the light. There's a lot of different places that we could read from this morning, but I would like to just take this portion of these. This thought, what we're looking at, we spoke yesterday evening on restoring order, and we was actually looking at the universal order, and then now we begin to bring it down to the order that God put the earth in. And Brother Man makes this statement to us, and he tells us at the end of this message, And today when we're talking about Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterian, the chief mechanic is here, the designer of His Word, the man who created the heavens and the earth and designed His church. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Does the Methodist or the Baptist church know more about what it takes? He's the designer. And He knows what it takes. Amen. He knows what it takes. And He's well dressed in the power of His resurrection. Now we looked at Cosmio, but remember, God's not going to expect you to be ready unless He's ready Himself. And it said that He's dressed in the power of His resurrection. And then He said, oh hallelujah, He's walking among us today in the power of His resurrection. And He knows what it takes to put the church in rapture order. Now we all agree the rapture absolutely has an order to it. But not only does God have an order to get you out of here, but the church has got to be in their right order to be able to leave here when the shout, the voice, and the trump takes us away. And so He knows what it takes to put the church in rapture order. He designed it. He put the parts together here in the Bible. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. Let faith in His promise word today, not yesterday, today. And He said, let it flow through you and you'll see how it operates. Why? He designed a thing. Amen. He designed His church by the word. Amen. We're not designed by some creed or some dogma or some man's ideal. The bride has been designed by the Word of God. Aren't you glad you are? Now we notice as we was looking at this point, this thought of restoring order, we know that there's a great universal order and we don't have time to go back in through it, but we understand that type of an order that God has placed the universe in. But then there's an earthly order that God wants to be able to position now. And we understand that when you have order, the opposite of order would be disorder. So if you've got disorder, which means you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, something has come in that's interrupted the peace and it causes an interruption or disorder. And we know that whenever you're looking at the heavenly order and then the earthly order, and then we know there's man's order, but not just man's order, but then there's God's order, what Brother M called rapture order. And we know that when God began to create the planets there in the heaven, we know He perfectly placed each one within the universe, and God knew exactly how everything was going to be set up. He knew where everything would be put at. But then we know that God had something within Him that He's wanting to express from His own being, His own characteristics of who He is. And we know there was an attribute which we know is thought form before it comes to materialization. And within God's thinking, God's thought, God's attribute, there's a part of God that was going to be specifically looked at, shown preferential treatment. God was going to give favor to it, and it's actually the place you and I, the home we live in, called Earth. Now, this Earth is not just another planet in the solar system, but this is the place that God has ordained you and I as the earthly bride. He has ordained us to live here. And the heavenly bridegroom, as He set up the heavens and created everything therein, and then the earth, God takes it and begins to put it into order. Now, we understand that arguably, we should say, I guess, that there's not another planet in the solar system that is able to sustain life. They've been able to look even by the Hubble telescope, and every time they would look at the different planets in the universe, they look at it. It's so contrast from our planet because it's also so devoid of any type of green or any type of waters, we'd say. But we know that when God created this earth, He had to put the right kind of an atmosphere around the earth so that the atmosphere could be able to bring forth the seeds that God had already planted by His spoken word that was upon it. And then we know that this planet that God began to make, as we looked at last night, has to be habitable. God made the earth to be inhabited. God made the seas to be inhabited. He made the sky to be inhabited. Let me say this, He made man to be inhabited. And now we understand that many people, they tell us the closest planet to our planet would be Mars, and they're talking about how that these great astrophysicists begin to look at it, and they begin to tell us that if man don't begin to evolve out into the space and be able to set up a place to live, then in so many years that the world's going to be destroyed and that mankind will go off to oblivion. But I say that's what a man, by theory, he can state that before the grave. But after the grave, he'll never be able to state that, because man is not in control of creation. Man is not in control of keeping the order of this world. Our God is in control of that. Scientists don't control it. I'll just say it for you, brother and sister, even the global warming ain't in control of it. They can say what they want. Oh my, they're scared to death. I'm telling you, our God is in control. He put the moon exactly where it needs to be put at, and God has given the sea a boundary, and it cannot surpass the boundary that God has given it to be able to move by. And so God is in control of all of it. Now, we know that even though Mars may be the closest thing to the earth, but there's one thing that Mars is lacking that we have, and that is seed. I said there's only one thing that every other planet in the universe is lacking, and that is a seed. You've got to have seed to bring forth life. And not just seed, but by the law of God, you got to have the right atmosphere, you got to have water, you got to have sunlight to be able to bring the ingredients by the law of God to bring life into order. Amen. Oh, they take the Hubble telescope and they look at the different planets, and they're so bare and, oh my, so dismal and gloomy looking because they're desolate planets. They're barren planets. But God did not make the earth to be barren. He did not take this earth to be empty. He wants it to be inhabited. He wanted it to be green. He wanted it to be fruitful. He wanted trees to come upon it. That's the reason even yet today many scientists say, well, oh my, as the story was told, that the scientists came to God and said, oh God, we can do the same thing you can. We can grow a tree just like you can grow a tree. We can grow flowers just like you grow flowers. And God said, well, let's just see you do it then. And the scientists went over there and they got a big old scoop of dirt. They took a seed and they put it down there, and God says, now wait a minute, you got to get your own dirt. I said, you got to get your own dirt, because scientists can't make dirt. Oh, they may be able to place seeds just like churches can place members, but they cannot create that supernatural part of you, that eternal part that came from the mind of God. They cannot create that part. It takes God's spoken word to create that part. Now we know that when God was preparing the earth, we know that he was actually getting the earth ready. He was preparing it, which is where we get the word that we would talk about universe, cosmos, and then from that word cosmos, we derive from the word cosmio, and the word cosmio means to prepare. It means to make ready, or it means to adorn. So God's going to make the earth ready. He's going to adorn it, prepare it, to be able to bring forth what he'd already planted on it. Now we know that God did not come down after the waters are removed and then plant seed. But while the earth was still in its chaotic condition, hallelujah, oh, let me say it like this. I said before darkness had covered the earth, before water covered the earth, the seed was already laying there. Oh no, the earth didn't have to come to an altar and get it. It was already there. And so what God began to do is he creates the atmosphere around the earth to make the atmosphere conducive for the seed to be able to grow. And everybody said amen. So we understand he's got to prepare it, which is the word cosmio, which is where we get the English word cosmetics, which means this guy, he's got to fix it up. He's going to get it ready. Now, you understand that God is establishing something by order. He's preparing this earth to be able to come into what we would say its pre-Eden state. It was already there being prepared to be able to come to life. Now, God did not want the earth to be void. God did not want this earth to be empty. But he wanted to bring forth the life of the seed that was already laying there. So God creates the condition that the seeds can come forth. Now, we know that God already had in his mind the image that he wanted to be able to be on
on this earth. He already had it by attribute form in his mind, but it hadn't come to materialization yet. But now he begins to prepare. He begins to dress the earth. He begins to move the water back and let the land begin to dry up. Separates the waters from the waters. Separates the heavens. And how God is now, he's preparing this planet to be able to bring forth life. Sounds like when you started church. I said, sounds like when you started church. You come in, you probably didn't know nothing about God. You heard about God, you heard about religion. But you come in and God began to soften your heart up. He took all the hard hearts and began to take them and make them soft. Made it susceptible to seed. Hallelujah. That's what he'd say, made it susceptible to growth. Amen. But God already had in his mind what the earth was going to be. It doesn't look like much. It looks chaotic. It looks like it'll never make nothing. And that's the way you look. It looked like you'd never be a church member. It looked like you'd never be a believer. But here you are anyway. Hallelujah. What's God got to do? Bring the light upon the earth to be able to bring the seeds to life. I'll just say this, seeds cannot come to life and without order. It cannot come to it can't come to materialization without the proper order. The spoken word is the original seed, but God has a way of bringing that seed to life. Chaos can't bring forth seed life. Disorder can't bring forth seed life. Confusion can't bring forth seed life. Oh, let me just say it. This Laodicea darkness cannot bring forth seed light. Your seed cannot come to life under creeds. Your seed cannot come to life by a dogma. Brother, you can give them all the dogmas you want and they'll lay there in that ground, never becoming nothing, but you let the light of the Son of Man ministry. Hallelujah. You left the ministry after the order of Melchizedek. Let it shine upon this seed and watch what happens. Brother M says it like this. He separated the light from the darkness. And the light he called day, the darkness he called night. And God's word separated light from darkness. So God creates the word, the light. And the light separates the light from the darkness. Now God created the sun, and the sun that God created is still burning today. You know why? He ain't told it to go out yet. Amen. It's exactly where God wanted to put it. He creates light. Light separates from the darkness. He had to separate the light from the darkness. Notice, when he gets ready to leave, oh, listen to this. When he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, he has to separate light from the darkness. God can't use it in darkness. He's got to divide it. He's got to sever and separate it one from the other. And Abraham says the light comes by God. And remember, the light come by his, oh glory. The light come by his spoken word. The word of God said, let there be light. And when there was no light, he sent the light to separate the darkness from the light. And the word of God commanded, cleared the sky so the sun could shine in. Watch his parallel. And his word today is what clears back all the atmosphere of unbelief. So it takes his word, and I'll just say this, it takes his spoken word to divide the light from the darkness. Now, not just any word will do. God wants his spoken word to divide. Now, Brother Ram tells us that the seeds was already laying there. So all God has to do is divide by his spoken word. And it begins to move over that seed. And the seeds beneath that water can come to life. Amen. You see, as long as darkness is there, it's out of order. It's not properly in the condition. Oh, there it is. It's not in the condition that it needs to be in order for the seed to be able to transform. Now God moves from preparing this earth to to a further part of his creation. He brings forth the plants, which Brother M tells us, marriage and divorce, and also question and answer on Genesis, different places, how that God begins to bring forth the life in the plants and how that botany life begins to grow. And then he moves there and he comes over to the fish and he allows the fish to be able to fill the sea. But then he comes to the animals and now the animals are upon the scene. And when God created them by his spoken word, he creates male, female, male, female, male, female. Everything that God creates has a mate to it. Hallelujah. Everything God created had a mate to it. It was male and female. It's not male, male. Come on, somebody. It's male and female. God created everything after its own kind. And Brother Ram said, notice in marriage and divorce, Brother Ram tells us how that God created the male, and the male being so much more beautiful than the female in every part of creation until it comes to man. Amen. Then Genesis 1:27, God says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and created he them. And God blessed them. Why? They're made in the proper order. They can be blessed as long as they are in God's divine order. They are a blessed couple. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply. While they are yet in spirit being, God wants them to be able to have multiplicity. He wants them to be able to bring forth seed and seed after seed after seed. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Brother Ram tells us, God's letting them know, I want you to take and I want you to multiply. Now remember, God's original spoken word was not sex, it was speaking children into existence. Don't you understand the way God put everything on the earth? He brought it into existence and he wanted man to be the same way. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion. Why is God talking like this? Have dominion, subdue it. Over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth on the earth. So God created a being identical to what he is. Spirit being. Amen. Which was spirit, image of Almighty God. Brother Ram makes a statement. Oh, I love this quote. Talking about making man according to his word. He said the pillar of fire in 1953 in Jonesboro, Arkansas. The world without form and void, water upon the face of the deep. We're in Genesis 1 now. He made all the plant life, and after a while, he made man in his own image. He made man in his own image. He had to make him something on the order of that supernatural being. That's right. Oh, glory. So God's super. And when God began to bring forth, he wanted something identical to what he is. Now, the flesh man is not created yet. And here is man in God's original spirit image. They're made in God's likeness. And he's telling them masculine and feminine. Created he them. He's telling masculine and feminine. Have dominion. That's exactly right. Not just masculine. Masculine and feminine. He wants them to have dominion. Now remember, it was not the woman until she came under the curse that she was going to be able to be subdued underneath the subjection of man because of the fall. But God's original spoken word, let them have dominion. You believe that? Marriage and divorce, if you'd like to look it up. Brother Ram says, he said he had to make him something on order of that supernatural being. So he's telling them, as everything else, he's telling them what their order is. He's telling them you're not just created to be here. You are not just here, you are here to rule. You're here to possess dominion over all things. You're here to subdue. Why would God tell spirit beings to subdue? Because there was already a serpent in the garden. Before there was a man, God had a plan. God knows, he knows what's fixing to happen. And he's preparing. Amen, somebody. He's adorning. He's preparing them. He's letting them know by his word, you're here to have dominion. You're here to subdue. He's preparing them. He's cosmio in the earth. Amen. Because the serpent already come in, and there was already something that had the ability in the earth to be able to, as we say, bring disorder. There was something that was in the earth that could absolutely interrupt God's order. Now, as long as they are spirit image, the serpent could have never beguiled Eve. For the sake of the truth, I'll say her, feminist. As long as she is in oneness, there could have never been a fall. Think about that. As long, oh God, as long as she's hidden in Adam, as we would say, as long before the Adam is split, as long as she's in him, she could not have done, she have not been deceived. She never committed the act. And to after the splitting of an Adam, which brings disorder. Amen, somebody. Remember that God took and an Adam burst forth, and God brought creation because it come by his word. But when man splits Adam, it makes explosions, it makes bombs. It causes annihilation, it causes disruption, it causes disorder. But watch what happens. As long as she's in here, there's never been an interruption. Amen. But when he brings man into a body. Now watch, everything male and female, male and female, male and female, male and female. But when it come to Adam, God created all these things. He looked at the plant life and God says it's good. He looked at the animal life, he said it's good. He looked at the marine life, he says it's good. But when it come to Adam, he looked at Adam and says, not good. That man should dwell alone. God said, it's not good. It's not good. So God takes, watch God. He takes Adam and he puts him to sleep and he splits an Adam. Glory. He splits an Adam and he makes a woman out of this man. Hallelujah. I said the Creator split another Adam. Amen. Now the serpent has something that he can inject himself in to be able to bring disorder to God's program. So the serpent came to Adam's bride, and because of the split union, it causes this disorder. The splitting of Adam caused interruption. Just as the earth and the heavenly order, it was in chaos whenever God created, began to come to its place. Water without form and void, water upon the face of the deep, but God created it. And now here again is the earth fixing to come out of order. And had Eve stayed with Adam's message, she would have never been deceived. Can I say it like this? If Eve would have stayed with her prophet's message, she would have never been deceived. But because she got to lending her ear to this liar and the father of it, it called an interruption in the plan of God. And the Adam now become in a disordered state upon the earth. As long as there's oneness, oh, think about where we're going to. As long as there's oneness, that the serpent had no chance to beguile her. Don't you see why God's bringing the bride back to oneness again? Don't you see why there's got to be an invisible union? Don't you see why that God is wanting a marriage today? He wants to bring the union back so there'll be no interruption. He's restoring order. Trying to pull the horses back, but it's hard. Now, from this place in the scripture, we know the woman falls, of course, and not only does she fall, but now and only now does she receive a separate identity from the original way that God created her. Glory. But I'm preaching about restoring order. So if she lost her identity because of the interruption of sin, if sin can get dealt with, hallelujah, then that means God can actually bring that seed. He'll have to materialize his spoken word to get you to identify who you are. It'll bring a union back together again. Marriage and divorce, 1965, as I'm laying this foundation. Notice why did she do such a thing? being in that high order. She was right with man. Look at the quote. Co-equal with man. But we all know that she lost her co-equalness with man. Now God's got to do something to redeem man. I'm using the right word, redeem, because they're already a part of it. We believe in redemption. We believe in restore. We believe in revival. But you can't have a re, because re means again. You can't be redeemed unless you're a part of the deem to begin with. Now, sin distorted the picture. It interrupted God's order. So now from the seed chapter, God has to restore man back to that image. So it would take God to be able to unfold himself in such a way to get man back. But even from the New Testament, God would give us just glimpses, if you will, a little synopsis, a little picture of the scripture, one here and one there. Yet, but Abraham tells us, not telling the mystery in full. Remember, across the mystery, not telling the mystery in full, but hiding it within his word. Satan's not going to get a hold of this. So God hides it by shadows and types. And the shadows talking about a new day coming. The shadows talking about a pure day that's coming. The shadows talking about an order coming back. The shadows talking about restoration. So then from the Gene Seed chapter, God begins to show us, in so much that he comes to Abram, and that how that he begins to tell Abram before his name is changed. Oh, how can I say it? Before he gets in his position, before this star gets in its place, it's laying there. He worshiped all different kinds of gods. His daddy was an idolatry. He made idols. Chaos was on the face of the deep. But God spoke his word through that darkness, and Abraham heard him. I want you to move out of this chaos, and I want you to go down to the Ur of Chaldees, and I want you to go up there where that oak tree's at. And Abraham comes into God's divine order. Amen. Why is God moving him? Because God's going to meet him somewhere, and he can't meet him under idolatry. Now God promises Abraham, and God tells him, think about, he tells him why he's yet Abram. You're going to be a great nation. Kings is going to come out of thee. Your seed is going to be like the sands on the seashore, like the stars in the heaven. And he ain't even got one son. But it didn't stop the spoken word. See where I'm going now? Hang on. So notice, you're going to have a seed, and your seed shall possess, have dominion, have rulership. Your seed will bring back into order the gates of the enemy. You're going to rule over darkness. You're going to rule over this earth that I created. That's what you're created to do. Prophecy, a spoken word. This is what you're coming to, Abraham. You're made to have dominion, and your seed will possess the gates of its enemy. What a prophecy. No son, no children, no progeny. But it don't stop the word. God's telling him his word. It's a command. It's an order. It's a decree. It's a mandate. And God ain't in the business of taking it back. God's got to do this thing. And now, the first act to restore, God's got to do some things to bring him back to this state. As we looked at the word last night, God has to condescend. Now, I think it's a powerful word. To think what God does, he is going to come to bring the promise spoken to Abraham into a condition to receive the spoken word. Now watch what God does. He comes down and he descends from heaven in the form of the word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That little light that came out of God is the Word of God. The rest of you Bible readers call it Logos. So He descends, hallelujah, He condescends in word form to a man called Abraham. In word form, theophany as we call it. Now think about it. He comes down to the earth in theophany form. He picks up the dust of the earth which is under curse. Watch what he's projecting. He picks up a handful of dirt and he creates, and Brother M tells us, he blowed his breath into the dirt. Hallelujah. It's by his breath, it's by voice. He blows breath into that dirt and it creates a body, materializes a body out of the dirt. Not out of nothing, out of the dirt. Not out of nothing, out of dirt. Now remember, he's foreshadowing how he's going to redeem us. He's going to pick up some dirt, be born in clay. And theophany's going to come in a body. Now watch. He comes down, creates a flesh body that could get hungry. That could get tired. That can groan with a headache. Anyway, he creates a body and he steps in it. He creates one for the other angels, Billy Graham and Earl Roberts. And they step into it. Now, one angel is going to the promised part of his word. The other angels are going down to Sodom. This angel that's coming to Abraham, oh, it's not a part of the Godhead. This body is not a redeemable body for man. It's the wrong order. Because that's not the way the fall happened. But think about it. He's projecting something to us. He materializes this body. And through that theophany veiled in a flesh body, he began to create an atmosphere around Abraham to bring forth his promised word. Brother Abraham said, Abraham is sitting in the door of his tent. How many knows he says it? And he said he looked out there and saw three coming down the road. And Abraham said, my Lord. Because Abraham wasn't a Trinitarian, Brother Ram said. He said, my Lord, singular. He saw three offices, but he called them one. I said he looked at three, but he only called them one. It's because Abraham, being a seed son, caught the revelation of who was coming down the road. Hallelujah. He's projecting something to us by reflection. Now, Abraham and Sarah had been married all these years. But because, oh, how can I say it? Because of the disorder, because of the fall, Sarah's womb is barren. You see why it's barren? It's because of the condition, because of the fall. Because of the disorder, Sarah's body's dried up, and she cannot bring forth multiplication of sons. But before God ever spoke his word, he already knew that. I said he knowed her condition, and he knowed your condition. He knowed where you was at. He knowed what you was doing. It didn't discourage him. He spoke it anyway. So God comes down and he meets Abraham. Hallelujah. And when Sarah's fixing him something to eat, this man that Abraham called Elohim, which is our God, begins to discern Sarah's heart that's behind him. Hallelujah. Now, no doubt it's upon Abraham's mind, the promise that God had given him. And understanding it, he probably doesn't know exactly how God's going to do it. But by faith, he's believing God's going to keep his word. Because his word ain't never failed. Amen. Now, Sarah's body in disorder. Oh, death had set into that body. Hallelujah. But after all those years of nothing, God's fitting to do something. You heard me right. I said, after all those years of disorder, after all those years of barrenness, God's fixing to do something. He begins to tell Abraham, Sarah, thy wife, will have a son indeed. And Sarah heard what God said, and she laughed at it. This means yes in Tennessee, and that means no. She laughed at the promised word. But it did not, listen friends, it did not cause God to take back his word. Listen, he never lost his focus. He said it because he commanded it to be. So here's the word, Elohim, Melchizedek. The word of God veiled in a human flesh. Created an atmosphere by discernment, glory, and by spoken word to bring their bodies back into order to produce the promised son. Rapture order. I said rapture order. The word of God veiled in Melchizedek made their bodies conducive to bring forth the spoken word of God. Hallelujah! Oh my! Oh, no doubt the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of doubt had so covered Sarah's mind to where she's thinking, there's no way. And she heard the Lord say this. She said, a woman, me already 90 years old, you mean to tell me I'm going to go in a body change, me 90 years old, God's going to heal me and I'm going to bring forth children? It's never even been heard of. That's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Her body was in darkness. Her body was in disorder, chaos. But the word of Melchizedek, because God's fixing to use an individual, he's fixing to use them. And in order to use them, Brother Ram said, God's word has to separate the light from the darkness. Restoring order. So the word brought the power of transformation upon this church woman's body to make her young again, to bring forth the oncoming promised seed to Abraham. Hallelujah. I said the word created her fertile. Amen. Hallelujah. The word created her fertile to bring forth life. Brother Ram says it like this as I hurry now. Remember, the light comes by his spoken word. The word of God said, let there be light. There was no light, and he sent that light to separate the darkness from the light. The word commanded to clear the sky so the sun could shine. And his word today is what clears back the atmospheres of unbelief. And that's exactly what happened to Sarah. Think about it. He wasn't born then. Oh, listen. Think about who this is. Think about who this is. Hebrews chapter 6. He wasn't born then. He was just created. A body that he dwelt in, Melchizedek, was the king of Salem, which is the king of Jerusalem, which is the king of peace. Order. Order. Again, he's foreshadowing. He creates a body to dwell in. He's going to reveal himself as king of peace, which is absolutely king of order. So it's foreshadowing by prophecy a time that was coming, that God's spoken word seed son was going to come on this earth in the form of a man. He's foreshadowing who he's going to be and what office he's going to hold. He is going to be a priest of the Most High God. He is going to be a king. King of saints. King of glory. King of order. King of peace. King of theophany. He's king of all kings, Revelation 19 says. But not only is he king, he's also warrior. Amen. He's both king and warrior. He's telling us what the order is going to be in by prophecy whenever the Messiah comes. Now, Melchizedek, it's mentioned in the book of Genesis. And everything that would ever be would have to come from the seed chapter. Everything that would ever be has to be spoken in the seed chapter. Brother Ram said every denomination's there. Right? He said the seed of the serpent's there. Everything was birthed from the seed chapter. Genesis. So it mentioned him about Melchizedek to Abraham. But then it's almost as if this person, who he is, where he come from, It's lost within the canon of Scripture. Nobody mentions it. Nobody talks about it. Until finally a man by the name of David begins to mention this man's name. And the book of Psalms 110 is a tremendous study if you get time to study this. It says that the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until, how long? I make thine enemies thy footstool. I'm reading prophecy, so hang on. I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Oh, let me say it from Genesis. Your seed is going to possess the gates of their enemy. Let me read it from Genesis 1. You will have dominion over the earth. They will be your footstool. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool, and the Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion, and roll thou in the midst of thine enemies, both warrior and king. Hallelujah! Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Amen! In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth, because the Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind. It's going to be. And God ain't changing his mind about his words. He didn't change his mind. Even though Sarah was unbelief, he never changed his mind. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after, not Levite, not the Aaron priesthood, but after the order of Melchizedek. So David's letting us know there's coming one who's going to be a high priest forever. There's coming one from a higher order than the natural priesthood of man. There's coming a higher order than just an earthly order. Hallelujah. Oh my, and when he comes, he's going to rule. He's going to have dominion. He's going to rule in the midst of his enemies. He'll come after the order of Melchizedek. Watch this prophecy. He's going to be a priest. The priest of the Old Testament now. The job of the priest was to deal with sin. He's to take the blood, offer it for himself, correct? Then offer it for the people. Hallelujah. Think about prophecy now. It's prophesying that this priest in the Old Testament, but whenever a priest would deal with it in the Old Testament, it could not annihilate that sin. It only pushed that sin forward for a year. But we're not talking about a Levite priesthood. We're not talking about an Aaron priesthood. We're talking about the order of Melchizedek, who is the power of an endless life. Hallelujah! Not just 12 months. He's going to abolish sin altogether. He's a high order of priesthood. He's going to make his enemies his footstool. He's going to rule the rod of iron in the midst of his enemies. He's going to have dominion. Hallelujah! Which means he's going to have a priesthood and also a warrior. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is this Melchizedek? He's King of Peace. He's the Word of Righteousness. Hallelujah. He's the King of Order. He's the King of Theophanies. He is the King of Theophany. Because he came from God's attribute to Word. And from Word to flesh. Watch the order. Oh God. He came from God's attribute, the same place you came from. Difference between you and him is a son. He came in the word of Melchizedek. And that form, theophany form, dwelt in a flesh body. He knowed all things. Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. Indeed, he knows all things. Hallelujah. And he's letting us know, this king that's coming, he's going to be the one who's going to restore order back to the church. Who is this Melchizedek? That's the foundation. Is that all right? All right. The difference between you and him as a son. He was at the beginning the word in a morphic body. He came and lived in that person of Melchizedek. And later, we no more never heard no more of Melchizedek. Because he became condescended The body that came to Sarah and Abraham was one materialized from the dust of the earth. But after God got done with that body, Brother Abraham tells us it dematerialized and went back into the dust of the earth. It was only a temporary body. It's only a temporary dwelling place. Oh, but when he's going to bring forth this son, this promised son, who's going to trodden down the winepress, who's going to rule in the midst of his enemies, it's going to be a permanent body that God can dwell in. He became Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute, David Melchizedek was Jesus. Listen, Melchizedek became Jesus. Amen. That's not the third person of the Godhead. It's not the second person of the Godhead. It was an office that God chose to reveal himself in. I did a quite extensive study on Psalms 110 different places, and the more they tried to explain it away, the more they proved it to me. I actually studied a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. I was trying to explain it away about this man Jesus. And he's telling us, oh, David was speaking to Solomon, and how that the word, if you look at the word from this point of view and the word from that point of view, and what you get is man. Yeah, you get God, but you get man. And the more he talked, the more excited I got. Because that is the mystery of the Godhead, that God can come down, and he became a man. A God man, Brother Bam said. You don't hear no more of it. But we find that if he's going to become Jesus Christ, then he must be spoken of somewhere. And whenever Matthew, under that kingly anointing, began to inscribe concerning Jesus Christ's genealogy, he says it like this in Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham, which happens to be, by coincidence, I suppose, the only two people to mention the coming of Melchizedek. So Jesus is attributed to Abraham, but he's also attributed to David. Now, reason I say attributed, because we understand exactly where he come from. But he's attributed back, because remember, Abraham was the father of faith. And then remember, the seed that was going to come out of Abraham was absolutely Jesus Christ. So these men mentions Melchizedek. And then Abraham tells us, 1965, who is this Melchizedek, paragraph 55. Notice now his attribute. The attribute was first God, the thought. The attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. But when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. St. John, the first chapter, the first verse, notice this, the beginning, but before the eternal glory. Notice in the beginning was the Word. When time began, it was the Word. But before it was the Word, it was attribute of thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression or the Word. I'm showing you that the same one that separated the light from the darkness in the beginning, the same one that created an atmosphere for the seeds upon the earth to come to a manifestation is the same one that moved the waters back, is the same one that moved the doubt from Sarah's mind. Amen, somebody. It's the same one that discerned her heart, and that same one is made flesh in the man Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about it. Her heart was not in order. Sarah's heart wasn't in order. She's worried about the disorder because she understands the process of man. He lives for so long and the body begins to decompose. It begins to go back and the body begins to fail. And so he's talking about creation and she's looking to a grave. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, Melchizedek changed the order of her heart. Who is this Melchizedek? What is this Melchizedek to do? He's here to change the order of our hearts. He told her who she is. He's telling her what's going to happen to her. He's letting her know, you are going to have a son. Laugh all you want. The bride is going to go on a rapture. Make fun all you want. She is going to leave here. Amen. You are going to have a seed. I've done spoken my word. Amen. And it's going to take place exactly the way I said it. Because the spoken word is the original seed. And I've already laid the seed. Hallelujah. So he creates the atmosphere around her for her to be able to bring forth the promised son, Isaac. So gloom was separated by light. As I seen as I was going to Kentucky last Sunday morning, as the fog was setting in the middle of the hills, so beautiful, laying there in the valleys. But the higher the sun got, it began to burn off the fog. Amen. Now for a long time that morning on the way, it was pretty foggy. But the higher the sun began to rise, at the rising of the sun, it began to melt away the atmosphere, the fog that surrounded the earth. Amen. And before long, it dissipated until it's almost as it was never even there to begin with. It's Melchizedek. It says Melchizedek. And he does the same thing every time he shows up. Jesus is going to Jericho. He tells his disciples, did you go ahead and get some food? But I've got to go by because I have need to go by Smyrna. But Lord, we ain't got time. We're too busy. We ain't got time for this. I can't help it. I've got to go by there. Because Jesus keeps all of his appointments. I've got to go by this well. Would you understand, Lord? We've got this to do. We got that to do. Go ahead and take care of your earthly order. I've got business to take care of. Why are you going? Something's calling me. Something's pulling me. Hallelujah. Something's calling me to Jacob's well. Somebody needs restored to order. There just happened to be a little piece of earth that happened to be coming down at the right time, on the right day, at the right moment, when the right man was coming by a certain well. You can't explain how you got here. You just got here. Footsteps of the Lord or footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. Well, Brother David, she was an unbeliever at that time. Only on the face of the deep. I said only on the face of the earth. Only on the face could you see chaos. But God's fixing to do something. He comes to this woman at this well. Her life is in chaos. She had man after man after man. And Jesus come down there and seen what kind of a woman she was. Oh, forget this. If I'd known you was this filthy and this dirty, I would have went with my disciples. I'd never come down here. You're way too dirty for me to take care of. You're way too unclean. Well, that's why some folks around the message believe it. You ain't a genius. See, God's got to clean you up and make you something. I want to tell you something. God ain't scared of your dirt. Hallelujah! He ain't scared of your unbelief. He's not scared of your crooked ways. Hallelujah! He's not scared of darkness. He's not scared of chaos. He ain't scared of alcohol. He ain't scared of cigarettes. He ain't scared of drugs. He ain't scared of creeds. He ain't scared of dogma. He ain't scared. Go ahead and sit there. I'm fixing to preach. He wasn't scared of her darkness. Hallelujah. Oh God. Woman, get me a drink. Because she'd been falling into disorder, she's under the command of man. That just come right then. She lost her co-equalness. So Jesus says, get me a drink. Now you be careful of that mystery. You'll have me and you both killed. Amen. Get me a drink. Now watch her mind. Oh, I've read the scrolls. We've read the law. And, oh, there's segregation going on in America. I mean, segregation going on. And amen, somebody. And the reds can't worship with the whites, and the whites can't worship with the blacks, and the yellows can't worship. Nonsense. Jesus pierced through segregation. Every seed. Well, the well's deep, and you ain't got nothing to draw with. Oh, he's drawing already, lady. I mean, according to our creeds and our dogmas, it's not even customary that you should be able to come into the house of God. And I mean, certainly you don't even look proper to even be in the house of God. And according to the tradition, according to the law, according to what our father said, my grandfather said, my great-grandfather said, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great. He just kept piercing right on through all of that. He pierces through thoughts and ideals and imaginations of man, and he comes right down to where she is. We got traditions in this church, and you're breaking our tradition. But traditionally, this is my seat. It's got my name on it. Well, you take you in your branch and leave if you don't like it. I was in a church the other day for a wedding, and every one of those benches had a name. I thought, I don't know whose seat I'm sitting in, but I hope they don't show up. Woo, hallelujah. Own days aren't right now. I didn't pay for it, but he paid for me. That's why I'm sitting here today, and that's why you're here today. Hallelujah. Watch Melchizedek now. Why 1962? It's not a good word to use, but predestinated seed was laying in that little woman. Believing and watching. That's incredible to me. Yet in her sinful condition, believing and watching. Yet in her sinful condition, she was watching for the coming of the Messiah. The church order in that day was so. Everybody's looking for the Messiah. Almost like today. She was standing there waiting to see what the answer of the man was when she said it's not customary. She was getting the tradition of the elders for the Jews. Asked the Samaritan male woman, we don't have any dealings. He said, but if you knew who you were speaking to, you'd ask me for water. I'm sure this is really getting confusing now. You asked me for a drink, and now you're telling me that if you knew who I am, you'd ask me for a drink. Then the question come up and Jesus says, I love it. Now watch. Melchizedek discerns Sarah. And this Melchizedek digs into her spirit, past the face of the deep, and he gets into the mechanism, the mechanical part that makes up who she is. And he said, go get your husband, because that's the right word to say. Amen, somebody. Go get your husband. She said, I have none. He said, you well said, because you've had five, and the one you're living in right now is not your husband. Quickly, watch! There was that predestinated seed to eternal life. Oh, listen. And when that light flashed across that predestinated seed quickly, not like them educated scholars. They debate, argued, fussed about, talked about, but they could not see who he was. Standing over there criticizing, they thought they were in that group, but they wasn't. They called him Beelzebub. But as soon as he hit that predestinated seed, the light flashed across it. And she said, sir. Oh, God. She said, sir, I'm identifying who you are. Sir, I perceive the early. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice. Oh, glory. See it, quicken it. I perceive the early prophet. We know the Messiah. When he comes, he'll do this kind of work. He said, I'm he that is speaking with you. And Brother Ram said, that settled it. She didn't need 5,000 scriptures. She didn't need 6,000 quotes to prove something. Come on, church. All it took was light striking the seed. What did it do? It brought her from a place of chaos, a place of darkness, and restored order to her life. She had man after man after man. She was living with a man then. But when the word got a hold of her, it brought her back into order. Oh, hallelujah. No doubt. A lot of preachers would have bypassed her. A lot of evangelists would have looked over her. Amen, church. Jesus wasn't scared of that dark life. He knew what was laying there. As a matter of fact, that's where Jesus made his reputation at. That's proof by the peoples in this building today. Beginning with the man behind this pulpit. She'd been to every synagogue, and that seed laid there, nothing. She heard law after law after law. It's good, holy, righteous, nothing. But when it come forth from the proper order, that's what I'm preaching. when it comes forth from the proper order of the right vessel that God's going to use, the word, the spoken word, separates light from the darkness. They were so educated they missed it. I'm talking about them, but I'm preaching now. They were so educated they missed it. They looked for him to come. They looked for the sky to open. He come riding out on wild horses with silver trumpets blasting his arrival. And he come in such a simple, humble form, crying like a baby in a manger, and they overlooked him. They couldn't recognize the mighty God was standing right in their midst. Don't you see this day, church? Jesus' ministry restores order to the church. The ministry of the Son of Man restores order. The mystery of Melchizedek, the ministry of Melchizedek restores order to the church. Hallelujah. Here he come right into the temple, interrupting their Sabbath. I like that. Order is causing disorder. Healed our sick on the Sabbath. Raise the dead right in front of them. Open blind eyes right in front of them. Why? Think about it. Eyes are made to see, but they wasn't in proper order. Amen. The dead was made to be alive. They wasn't in their proper order. And Jesus didn't care what day it was. He didn't care what their creeds talked about. He didn't care what church it was in. Amen. He brought the word anyhow. Think about this, Melchizedek. He didn't care what name was over the door. He didn't care if it was woman preachers. He didn't care what denomination it was. He brought the word anyhow. I said he brought the word anyhow. Think about it. Sin caused these people's bodies to be out of order, because sickness causes sin, or sin rather causes sickness, it causes diseases. But God's given the church the ability to cast it out. Is that what Brother Bram says? God's grace is better than fought. Brother Bram said Satan's army brings diseases, but God's army's commissioned to cast them out. Amen. There you are. Every time Satan throws anything on you, God's army is to cast them out. Amen. Cast out. For 2,000 years. I got to bring this to a quit. For 2,000 years, the churches went from one man to another man to another man. Amen. And they've had 5 men that ain't their right husband. They've taken this man's idea and this philosophy. They've taken this man's creed or another man's dogma. And the church went further into chaos than what it ever had been before. Amen. They took creeds rather than taking God's word. God would present them to truths. You know why? That old horse rider was riding out to the land. I said he was riding out to the land, and he's still riding today. Same beast. Same spirit. What's he done? Made himself religious. I travel a little bit, and it makes me sick to my stomach. This Catholicism's got people bound down and tied up. Who in the world follow a man wearing a dress anyhow? Man! They're out of order! They're out of place! There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit in this building. Oh, you better be thankful God's restored order to this church. Amen. I say they're liars. I say they're liars. There ain't no hotel between heaven and earth. There ain't no such thing as a purgatory. Brother, I don't like that. Well, hang on. I ain't done yet. I've seen them rob people. They ain't hardly got a dime to their name. Brother, I've seen Mexicans that are so poor, they can't hardly feed their children. They'll take a dinner and give it to that beast, that harlot system that they're under. Take away clothing, take away food from their children, trying to buy one of their ancestors. I say it's nothing but a wicked, disorderly spirit among them. intercede with the dead, but I die to worship's all it is. I've walked there in their churches in Paris, and I've watched how they go up, and they got a statue of a pope, and you got to put money in the plate to be able to touch this thing been made by a man. And so many people had touched it, it rubbed his foot down to just a nub. Yeah, I touched it, and I didn't pay a dime either, that harlot. It didn't do nothing for me either. You know why? Because it was out of order. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I heard a voice. Hallelujah. Come out from among them, my people, and be you separated. Let the light separate you from the darkness. When you was a, if you're a son or daughter of God, you heard that truth. Something inside you said, that's me he's talking about. You heard this message, you said, that's me. You heard the sermons and you said, he's talking about me. You wanted your best to stay in disorder. Something got a hold of you and began to turn you around. Your food didn't taste right. Your bed slept hard as a rock. You know why? He's bringing you back into order. He starts telling us things that no other religion has ever told anybody. Nobody knows nothing about a theophany like we do. Amen, Brother David. Nobody knows nothing about new bodies, theophanies, logos like this bride believes. Because every denomination of the day tells us you're getting a body from the future. And William Branham, Melchizedek come and he said, you're getting a body from the past. That when this earthly tabernacle was dissolved, you already got a body that's eternal in the heavens, not made by hands. Spoken words. He starts saying, you're called, you're elected, you're predestinated, you're chosen by God, you're from the eternities, you always was. You always was a son. You only come here in this life. He came from thought to theophany to a flesh body. Brother Brown said, you come from attribute. You bypassed your theophany to come to this life to be tempted and tried. Why? You got to get character here. Oh, I'm telling you, listen to me today as I close. We're living in a day where this order of America's coming to an end. Judgment's on the face of this nation we live in. It's coming to an end. Why? Our Melchizedek is restoring order. Let Putin light bombs. Let Korea send off nuclear warheads. Amen. But I hear Brother Ram say before one of them ever leaves. I heard Brother Ram just last Sunday, Brother Ram said, when they go up, we go up too. Other musicians come. I'm not going to get done with this. I'm sorry. I'll try my best to get there. It's just not going to happen. I want to tell you, church, to be able to see this message as we see it today. Because Brother Ram said, when you recognize this word of God to be eagle food, you left that other thing, denomination, organization, husband after husband, you left them. Amen. He starts restoring order back to your life. He starts transforming you back into the image of the Word. How is he doing it? By the spoken word. After the order of Melchizedek, the power of his endless life, he begins to restore order back to the church. He starts reminding you who you was. Why is he doing that? Because we was in a disorderly place of amnesia. And he got to shaking us from who we was and what we thought we knew and how we thought the scripture was right. I love when God topples our apple cart. Turns it upside down. Said, you got this all messed up. Trash all that. This is the truth of it. I heard a voice. I don't know what you heard, but I heard his voice. It just happened to be in the form of a Kentucky hillbilly. I say that with all due respect because I'm thankful it's that way. That's the kind of language I can understand. Oh, God. You ever look at your life and wonder why you couldn't be satisfied in Church of Christ? Why couldn't you just be satisfied just being a good Baptist, going to church, serving God, trying to live right, trying, doing all these things that you know right? Why couldn't you be satisfied with it? Because like that little woman had come to the well, she'd done everything that she thought was right. But when she got introduced to the right man, amen, on the right day, at the right time, something began to come to life. And God bypassed her intellect because the seed came to life. I don't care where it's at. I don't care what it's under. God knows how to bring it to life. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God bless you. Restore and order. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, how blessed we are today to be able to see these things. Tell me, which church you go to hear about the order of Melchizedek, that somebody can tell you who that one is and where that's happened here and how David brought it out. And then Hebrews, Paul brings it up three times in the scripture and God's perfected in threes. He brings it up in Genesis C chapter, brings it up in David in the middle of the book, and he brings it up at the end of the book over here with Paul, and Paul tells us who that Melchizedek was. It was nothing less than Jesus Christ, God descending down to man. And Brother Ram tells us whoever that Melchizedek was, he said he still is today. He didn't get buried. He still is today. How many believes it? Let's sing that song, You Are God Alone. Brother Harry, would you sing that for us just before we turn to Brother Louis? Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh, brother, I'm excited about what God's doing for us. Praise be to God. Amen.
I don't remember for sure what key. It might be A. Is it A?
Praise be to Jesus.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man.
Amen.
You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your pain.
I'll help him sing it this morning.
That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. God alone, right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone, you are God alone, from before time began, you are on your throne, you are God alone. God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone. God alone, oh, you are God.
Brothers and sisters, think about it. The presence of God that sweeps through this place week in and week out.
Glory.
One day we're going to live in a place where it won't sweep in and sweep out.
Glory.
It'll sweep into this place one day. Hallelujah! And we'll sweep out when it leaves.
Amen.
Forever to be. I want to know what it's like. I want to see the Kentucky bluegrass.
Amen.
I want to know what it's like to go by that river of life. Oh, as the song says, I want to know how it feels. Do you want to know? Brother Harry, sing. Do you want to know how it feels? Can we sing it just before we turn to Brother Louie? Oh, let's just sing it together.
I want to know how it feels.
Hallelujah, yes, Lord.
To make my way down the streets of gold.
How many wants to go?
I want to know how it feels. Have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like.
Yes, I do.
To rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels.
Listen, that's right here.
My mama and daddy talked about going home.
Oh, yeah.
Since I was just a babe on their knee.
I remember.
They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there. How one day I will finally
back
be free.
On right here, baby.
Well, I've never seen it, but I keep believing it's a place like you and I've never known.
What you gotta do?
I keep my eyes on the sky.
Oh, yeah.
My soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I'm gonna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. To rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels.
I'll sing that last verse.
Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems like peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. But I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like. the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Oh, I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. I'm gonna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I'm gonna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I'm gonna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real, but I'm gonna know how it feels.